Have we crossed the Rubicon in American politics? The unprecedented lawsuits against former President Trump are a new thing in American history. Never before has a leading candidate had to deal with major steps to prevent him from even running for president or to prevent him from winning the presidency. Are we looking at the Constitution in crisis? Especially disconcerting is the notion that free speech activities by Trump and his lawyers, questioning how many votes there were, for example, in Georgia, are now being viewed as criminal activities. So write the supporters of President Trump. Dr. Richard Land is the executive editor of Christian Post, and he joins me now on Vocal Point to discuss this and unpack these things. My name is Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Dr. Land back to the program. Dr. Land, always a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. It's so good to be with you, and we are facing a crisis, and it's not just Trump supporters. I mean, Alan Dershowitz, who has said that he has never voted for Donald Trump and never will vote for Donald Trump, but who is a true liberal, who really believes in free speech and the Constitution, has said that this is unprecedented attack by the executive branch, by the Justice Department, on free speech in the United States and free elections in the United States. We have the startling comparison of the way the executive branch is harassing and using the legal system to harass and to seek to silence Mr. Trump and his supporters, and at the same time ignoring outrageous activities by the Democratic president, who is the presumptive Democratic nominee in Joe Biden, who may have taken, he and his family may have taken as much as $40 million in payments from foreign governments. And the question is, for what? For what? And the unprecedented treatment that his son has received in relation to felony charges for illegal gun possession and other activities. The double standard is catastrophic to people's confidence in the rule of law. We have a very rare and special thing in our country, which is the rule of law. And it's very fragile. And when it's lost, it'll be a lot more difficult to get back than it is to maintain it. And we all have an interest in maintaining, blind justice. Unfortunately, at the federal level, clearly, justice is no longer blind. In fact, as I said in the Christian Post, she's completely disrobed and she is no lady.
Mm. Well, the thing about this is, you know, you look at this and you think, wow, can we ever get our country back?
Yes, we can. But it's going to take, the people rising up and demanding that it take place. We need to, for instance, the Supreme Court. It looks like a federal judge in New Orleans was so outraged by the evidence being presented, by the ways in which the Biden administration sought to silence social media and was seeking to censor social media, that in the middle of a trial, he issued an injunction to force them to cease and desist from doing so. And now it's gone to an appeals court, and they've had their public hearing. And I'm telling you, it's not going well for the Biden administration. I think they're going to lose an appeals court, and they're going to get slam dunked by the Supreme Court as well, because they are trying to use the power of the government to threaten and intimidate and to censor social media in this country, and have done so on really an alarming scale during the 2020 campaign and in the 2022 campaign and all around COVID. And this is unconstitutional in the extreme. We have, unfortunately, a Justice Department that is full of people that look upon the Constitution as a hindrance to what they want to do.
That's so fascinating. I mean, the reason I think part of the, you know, the Constitution has proven to be so durable because it was based on the Christian view of man being so sinful. And so they divided power and, you know, it was a Christian worldview that gave birth to all this. And now it seems like they're trying to dismantle it, you know, virtually one phrase at a time, if you will.
Well, my theory, and this is a theory, I think it's based on a good deal of evidence, that under Barack Obama, the Justice Department was weaponized. They brought in tons of career people in the Justice Department, which is, would include the FBI, that fundamentally look upon the Constitution as a hindrance and an outdated document that keeps them from doing the progressive things they want to do. And so they are systematically ignoring it and seeking to subvert it. And the only way that it's going to change is if there is the American people massively reject those efforts at the polls and elect a president who will clean house. And by clean house, I mean dismantle and start over with the Justice Department and the FBI, starting from the top, working down.
Do you think there's a two-tier system of justice in our country at present?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to believe there's a two-tier system of justice.
Unfortunately, the media seems to disagree with that idea. Unfortunately.
The so-called mainline media, now the sideline media, they are bought and paid for by the administration and by the liberal establishment. They have abandoned their constitutional duty to keep the people informed and to report the news. And that's why programs like yours and efforts like the Christian Post are so absolutely vital to let the people know the truth, because they're not going to get it from watching the establishment news media. And increasingly, that even includes Fox.
Well, here's a comment from Ben Shapiro. He wrote recently talking about what's happened with Trump, with all these different allegations and accusations and impugnments and charges and so forth. All of this is quite terrible for the country. No matter what you think of Trump's various legal imbroglios, the glass has now been broken again and again. Political opponents can be targeted by legal enemies. It will not be unbroken. If you think that only Democratic district attorneys will play this game, you have another thing coming. Prepare for a future in which running for office carries the legal risk of going to jail on all sides, which means that only the worst and the most shameless will run for office. Those are, again, comments from Ben Shapiro. Your thoughts?
Well, he's absolutely, unfortunately, I fear that he's absolutely right. And of course, also, that if you're a lawyer, if you give advice that the government thinks is wrong, you can be criminalized and you can be sent to jail. Megyn Kelly, who is obviously not a Trump supporter, has said that what's going on is not only manifestly unfair to Mr. Trump, but it is dangerous. She said, you know, she's a lawyer, and she said, all of us who are lawyers need to think very carefully about this, because this implies that giving advice, legal advice that a government bureaucrat thinks is wrong can mean that you get charged with a crime. This is why in my Christian Post op-ed, I suggest one counterbalance to this is we need to pass a law that says if you get charged by the federal government with a crime and you're found innocent, the government has to pay your legal costs. Because Jack Smith, just in one example, Jack Smith, the guy that's the legal hitman that's prosecuting Donald Trump in the January 6th case, he harassed and so treated unfairly Governor McConnell of Virginia that he was reversed 8-0 by the Supreme Court. But it cost the governor $27 million in legal fees to prove his innocence.
That is amazing. And it also cost him any kind of great future in politics. And there were some who said he did have a future in politics.
Well that's, you know, it's like, remember former Labor Secretary Ray Donovan, who was accused of corruption and was finally acquitted and found innocent. And he said, now, where do I go to get my reputation back?
Yeah, that's just unbelievable. So we have 4 minutes left. Is there any hope for America?
Yes, there's always hope. Our system is capable of self-correction, but not without the massive participation of informed and courageous citizens who are willing to step forward and demand that their government obey the law and punish those who have not obeyed the law.
Okay, so what does this mean? I mean, you look at what happened to all the people with January 6th. And by the way, you know, I don't defend what they did, but it seems crazy that after 2.5 years, there are people in jail who haven't even been charged yet with their alleged crimes.
Oh, what happened? What's happening to the people that are charged on January, but with January 6th infringements is appalling. It is an appalling abuse of the law. And someday the story is going to be fairly told, and Americans are going to be appalled that this criminal injustice took place. And the Republicans are just now beginning to study the failures of security that allowed it to happen. President Trump offered 10,000 National Guardsmen, and Nancy Pelosi turned them down. If there'd been 10,000 National Guardsmen there, there wouldn't have been any breach of the Capitol.
Well, I'm sure she's very pleased with what the results were, you know, based on what happened to Trump and all the accusations and allegations and so forth. Again, give us hope. I've talked to some people and they say, well, you know, every nation maybe lasts about 250 years, and so our time is coming up soon. Really? I mean, think about this. July 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2026, that's only a few years from now, we'll be celebrating the 250th anniversary of this nation because of the, you know, 4th of July, 1776. But it doesn't almost seem like there's much to celebrate these days if we continue down this same kind of path.
Well, whether we continue down the same path is up to us. It's government of the people, by the people, for the people. And ultimately, people have the kind of government they'll put up with. Now, I am not going to put up with this kind of government. I'm going to do everything within my power, legally, to have redress of grievance. Our Constitution provides for peaceful redress of grievance. We need to elect a Congress and a president who will rein in the administrative state. Now, I knew that Trump's road was going to be bumpy. I was sitting in the audience in Washington, D.C., when he gave his inaugural address. And I turned to my wife and I said, he is declaring war against the Washington establishment. Everybody's sitting behind him, Republican and Democrat, the administrative state, the CIA, the FBI. He's declaring war against all of them. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
And now it's really a very difficult thing. Do you think he has a chance to even win the presidency again?
Frankly, I doubt it. I think that when you have polls that show that 51% of Americans think he broke the law, which is a result of massive media bias, I think it's difficult for him to get to a majority when 51% of the people starting out think he broke the law. My own personal assessment is that one of the reasons that Biden and the federal government are harassing him so is that they know that every time they do this, it gets him more support among Republicans. But you can't win with just Republican votes. I think they've come to the conclusion, and it may be a correct one, that the only Republican that Biden can beat is Trump.
Interesting.
I'm beginning to think that neither Biden nor Trump will be the nominees for president in 2024. That the Democrats will have someone else running, and the Republicans will have someone else running.
Okay, 15-second closing thought. Are we at a constitutional crisis right now?
Yes, I believe we are. If we allow the executive branch and the administrative state to get away with what they're doing now, we will never have another free election in the United States.
Dr. Richard Land, ChristianPost.com. Thank you so much. All the best.
God bless.